In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're on page 13, volume 33, 311, 1934. And we begin, Jesus saying, you must know. And this is the command of Jesus. You have to know this. You have to understand this. This is most important to begin to understand how to live in the divine will. The how and the why is found only in Louisa. And Jesus wants us to possess this gift. So he says to us, you have to know this. And this is a command from the Lord. There's the whole book on you must know. And it's always about Louisa. It's always, you have to know who possesses this. That's Louisa Picaretta. You have to know what I have done through this little newborn, Louisa Picaretta. So how glorious is this that our God wants us to dive deeper into this understanding of how this is going to be done and why it's going to be done. And it's all because of Louisa. And again, her body was just moved into the Holy Spirit Chapel in Corrado, Italy, at Our Lady of the Greca Church, the church that she was baptized in. And now she's buried in. And Father Bucci would show us, there was this little square on the floor. This is where Louisa used to kneel, right in front of the Holy Spirit Chapel. And how appropriate that Louisa, when you read volume 17, May 4th, 1925, what does Jesus tell us about Louisa? The Holy Spirit is going to reveal his truths and his secrets to her. So here she is. Her tomb now is in the Chapel of the Holy Spirit. Right above her tomb is the picture of the Holy Spirit. Again, God has everything planned. Everything is worked out. Father Bucci used to say to everyone, this is where she has to be buried. She has to be buried here, not in the back of the church. And on her birthday, a few days ago, the church brought her there. Now, what does this mean? This means more than likely that she's going to be named Venerable. And what we heard last year is that she should be beatified by the end of next year. That's what they said last year. So we're looking forward to the beatification of Louisa, and that means all the writings will be out to the world. Jesus says when these writings go to the world will just understand that we're now in the new era. And it's the new era of the Holy Spirit that is going to be given to us through Louisa. So Jesus says this, you must know that Louisa, the soul in grace, is the temple of God. I mean, all of us, the soul in grace. That's all of us who have, you know, are in the state of grace, who've, pray, fast, do penance, go to confession, go to Holy Mass. He says, the soul in grace is the temple of God. So think about this. God dwells within. Okay. How amazing is the soul of the baptized are ontologically changed. Why? So it becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Father, the temple of the Son, temple of the Holy Spirit. So he says, Jesus is saying that the soul in grace is the temple of God. That's all baptized Christians, Catholics. However, then he says this, when the soul lives in our most holy divine will, that's Louisa, God makes himself the temple of the soul. And oh, the great difference between the creature, temple of God, and God, the temple of the soul. So just think about that. You know, humanly speaking, the soul becomes the temple of God. So that's human. Okay, the soul in grace becomes the temple of God. But when the soul lives in the divine will, and Luis is the one who at this point lives in the divine will, to live in the divine will is to be perfect. To live in the divine will is to be free of sin. And no one at this point is perfect. No one at this point is free of sin. We all got to go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And if you don't understand your sinfulness, look up, on the website or the websites, look up the examination of conscience that we can have from Luisa looking at the 24 hours of the Passion. And you will be very surprised of how weak we are. And the first one, and we know the first one who will live in the fullness of the divine will, Luisa tells us that, is when we read the three appeals. We read Our Lord's appeal, and then Our Lady's appeal, and then the third appeal, the three appeals. The third appeal, Luisa says, the first one who will live in the fullness would be the Vicar of Christ on earth. He has the keys to the kingdom. He will open the door, and everyone will be able to begin to live this abundant life. This true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. So, the great difference between the creature, human, as the temple of God, a human, as the temple of God, and God, infinite, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, becomes the temple of the soul. So, it's divine. So, Jesus wants us to become aware that because of Luisa, now God can be the temple of our soul. It's divine. It's not human. Do you see the difference that God is showing us? You have a human house, okay? We look at the human palaces, we look at the human buildings, all over the world, even the Vatican, how magnificent that is. God is preparing a place for us. God is building a palace for us. Each and every one of us. If humans can produce magnificent works of art and architecture, what do you think it's going to be like to have God make this for us? It's got to be extraordinary. It's got to be heaven. It's got to be infinite. It's got to be magnificent. And that's why to focus on the things of heaven makes you happy. To focus on the things of earth, I mean, if you have a house, if you have a place, you got to constantly be upgrading it, painting it, making sure that it's functioning properly. I mean, this is what humanly we have to do, but divinely we'll never have to do that. God is preparing a place for us, and this is what he says. Oh, the great difference between human and divine. Human, being in the state of grace, a temple of God. A soul living in the divine will, God becomes the temple of the soul. Do you see what God is calling us to? This is the ultimate of gifts. The saints did not have this. Why did not the saints have this? Because they didn't have Luisa. And what Jesus constantly tells Luisa is for our benefit, because I'll tell you honestly, I meet a number of people who say you don't have to read the volumes. You possess the divine will. Jesus says to Luisa, I want you to know the truths. I want you to enter into this life, to know, love, and possess it. And then he says very, very clearly, if you don't enter into this life, if you don't learn about it, how can you enter into it? If you don't study it, how can you possess it? Now, people will say, a child, it doesn't need to study to be baptized. That's true. It's a great gift. But Jesus shows us that even in baptism, we have our weaknesses, we have our passions, which can lead people to hell, even though you're baptized. In the divine will, and he talks about the second baptism in volume 11, it's very, very clear. You are free of sin. You are free of your passions. You're free of your human inadequacies. And that's why, again, I say, who is free of sin? Who is free of their human inadequacies? Nobody at this point. Louisa has it. Jesus shows us that. So this is the next line here. The first is the temple exposed to, it says it right here, to dangers, to enemies, to subjects, to subject to passions, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Great people, good people who are in the state of grace are exposed to dangers. Again, what is a danger? Worry. What is a danger? Fear. What is a danger? Anxiety, complaints, negativities, sin. To enemies, subject to passions. So the Lord wants to free us of that. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how difficult it is for all of us in this world. And he says, I want to give you something greater than I gave to the saints. Now, how can this be? Well, let's look at the good men and holy men and women of the Old Testament. None of them were ontologically changed because none of them had baptism. None of them received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ through the Holy Eucharist. None of them received the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit and 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it wasn't time. Jesus hadn't come to earth to start the Catholic faith again. Jesus wasn't on earth to give that universal life back to mankind. And now, Jesus says, now is the time that I want to give even more. This is why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, 40 days after Louisa died, he said very clearly, Our Lady said very clearly, time is now coming to an end. Time has now come to an end. And it's not the end of the world. It's the end of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Why? The time of the evil one has come to an end. And that 100 years is over. Remember Pope Leo XIII heard Lucifer say to Jesus in that vision that he had, give me 100 years to destroy your church. Jesus says, you have it. Why? Jesus wants that separation too. Who is for the devil? Who is for him? Who wants the kingdom? And who wants hell? He has to know what you want. So a lot of people start their hell on earth by trying to be happy with sin. And sin causes hell to begin. And until you go to confession, until you confess your sins, and with a firm purpose of amendment, turn away from your sins, you will be happy. You will be unhappy. You won't be happy. When you have the holiness, when you have the forgiveness of sins, when you make a good confession, you become happy. You become holy. So Jesus says he wants to free us of dangers, enemies, and our passions. And so he says many times our supreme will, our supreme being, finds itself in these temples as in temples of stone, not cared about, not loved as it is befitting it. And the little lamp of its continuous love that he must have as a homage for his God who resides in him without pure oil is extinguished. You know, being in Ireland, you saw what the King of England did. You travel throughout Ireland and there's rubble. This used to be a convent. This used to be a monastery. This used to be a church. This used to be Catholic, and it's just rubble. And Jesus says that's what's happening today. He says many times God finds itself in these temples as temples of stone, run down, not cared about, they're falling apart. I remember this one beautiful place where we celebrated Mass in Ireland. It had no roof. It's just like Paris at this point, Notre Dame. It's sad, you know, not cared about, not loved as is befitting it. And the little lamp, this lamp in the sanctuary that says God is present, God is here. It's continuous love that he must have is homage for his God who resides in him, is without that pure oil. It's water and oil. It doesn't light. You know, the wick, the water is right at the bottom of the wick, and you can't light it. The temple, see, each one of us is a temple of God. As a matter of fact, your homes should be temples. And you should have a burning candle in your home. I don't recommend something lit if you're not there, but you can buy the little flickering candles that in your home, it can be flickering, like in a church. And you can say, Jesus is here. Jesus is the Lord of this house. Jesus is my King, my Master, my God, my all. And then each person should have a room where they can pray, you know, a prayer room. Remember Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton said that in the future every house will have a black tabernacle where everyone will come to worship, and that's what we see in every house. Every home has the television, and those that have the television, they spend hours and hours and hours in front of it. It's the hypnotic eye of death, as they say in Opus Sanctorum Angelorum. The hypnotic eye of death, whether you're 8 or 80, you could sit there for hours, motionless, basically. That's not what God wants. What I suggest is, you know, get rid of your TV. I bought a television for my dad, and when he was alive, and after he died, after my mom died, I left the television there because it was like, well, that was for him. He liked TV, and after years, I said, you know, I don't watch this thing. It was one of these big old, you know, tube TVs, you know. And it took up so much room that when I took it out of the room, I had enough room to put a couch there. And it's so more peaceful. I didn't watch it, but it's so more peaceful to not have that black idiot box there. It's like, you know, I try to tell the children, you know, for summer, don't watch TV. Just go outside. Play outside. Don't be trapped with this programming that those who are producing television shows and commercials are trying to hypnotize the kids. Go out. Breathe in the air. And then teach them about every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand is an I love you from Jesus. It's I love you from the Father. It's I love you from the Holy Spirit. And to look at every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every bug, and say to God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you. Teach them the rounds. Okay? If you don't have the rounds book, look at the Canticle of Daniel. You know, sun and moon praise the Lord. Nights and days praise the Lord. Begin to even look at St. Francis. You know, brother, sun, sister, moon. Get into all the I love yous that are around you. And Jesus says, when he hears us say, I love you in the divine will, he says, God goes into ecstasy. Why? Because we're beginning to live the life that Adam lived before the fall, that preternatural life that God gave to him of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and mortality. It's a new life. It's a divine life. And he says, Jesus says to us, he wants us to begin to live this. So don't be trapped by television. Don't be trapped by that, you know. Have your temple, your house, the house of God. make sure you have a holy water font as you enter the house that you can bless yourself with. Exercise holy water. Have a crucifix in each room. Have the picture of Jesus, a picture of Mary, a statue of Jesus, a statue of Mary, inside and outside of your house if you wish. Have a picture of Louisa. Again, what's coming is going to be really tough. And God has given us the means to get through it, and that's the Book of Heaven. As you read, and especially if you're focused on the calendar, as you read every day, it's a new beginning that's coming. So he says this. That little lamp, again, find a little flickering light that you could say, this is my sanctuary lamp. Jesus is here. God is present in this home. And then don't blaspheme him by the trash that's on that idiot box, the hypnotic eye of death. So Jesus says this, have that purity there, so it's flickering for the love of God. And then it says, and if the soul were ever to fall into grave sin, our temple collapses. Our temple becomes occupied by thieves, and ours and his enemies who profane and ruin it. Jesus is like going to Our Lady of America. Our Lady of America says she wants the children of America to bring purity to the world. What is that purity? It's the pure life of Jesus and the pure life of Mary. That's what God wants. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life. Our Lord loves us very much. He's got great plans. He's preparing a place for us in the kingdom. He's asking us to call that kingdom down on earth as it is in heaven. He's asking us to enter into the I love you of God. To recognize all the I love yous out in creation, and to praise him and to love him and to glorify him and to worship him. This is what it means to pray your rounds. And if you haven't got the rounds book, get the Easter book. Easter, for in the Latin rite, it goes from Easter Sunday to the Feast of Christ the King. I love to pray that for a half a year, more than half a year. It's so powerful to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God. Our Lord loves us very much. And he has chosen us. He has predestined us to live at this time. How fortunate we are to be alive at this time. How fortunate we are. He has great plans, and he says, I want you, that's us, to link yourself to Louisa so that you can accomplish what I have planned for you from the beginning of time. And that's what he's looking for. So he says this, the second temple, those are the souls who live in the divine will, that's Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa, that is God. The temple of the soul is not exposed to dangers. The enemies cannot get near. The passions lose life. The human is always falling apart. Let's just look at your life. You know, the things that you could do years ago, you can't do today. It's, thank God. And now God says, what he says is this. I want you to have the second temple, the temple of God. I want God himself to be the temple of the soul. From the temple of God to God makes himself the temple of the soul. So this is what he says. What will happen is you're not exposed to dangers anymore. What does that mean? The things that bothered you before cannot bother you. The things that you worried about before, you're not worried about anymore. You're freed. Why? The second temple is of God. It's not exposed to dangers. God is the temple of the soul. This is what we long for. This is what we're looking for. He says the soul is the divine temple of ours. It's like the little host that has her Jesus consecrated in it, such that with the perennial love that she draws, receives, and is fed, she forms the little living lamp that always burns without ever going out. So for your home, you know, like I said, find a little light. Okay? Now Jesus says, I want you to be the love, that light, the flame of God, for God. Now think about this. You remember the 3 days of darkness they say is coming? And have a candle. He says the candle is symbolic of the life of Jesus, the love of Jesus. And what Jesus is now saying is for the second temple, that is God, temple of the soul, you won't be exposed to dangers anymore. The enemy, the devils, cannot get near you. This is something that will astonish you. The difficulties that you've had all your life, say, for example, like love of chocolate. You know, that's a difficulty for some people. You won't have it anymore. It's like chocolate isn't going to be your passion. You're not going to say, oh, I just can't wait to sink my teeth in this. Why? God takes away from us the love of the earth. The loves of the earth disappear. And what happens is the loves of heaven, the loves of eternal life, are there that take its place. So he says very clearly, the soul in this divine temple of ours becomes the little host that has her Jesus consecrated in it. This is, remember, to become a living host. This is what Jesus said to Saint Faustina, and he describes to Louisa how this happens. How do you become a living host? You know, they say the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we become like her Son. Image and likeness, that's the divine will. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is we become living hosts. This is what it says. The soul in this temple of ours, of God's, is like a little host that has her Jesus consecrated in it, such that with a perennial love that she draws and receives and is fed, this is from God Almighty, she forms the little living lamp that always burns without ever going out. It's the I love you. It's every heartbeat. You start with your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day. I love you. I love you. I love you. This is what you're saying to Jesus all day long. You're saying to the Father all day long. You're saying to the Holy Spirit all day long. I love you. I praise you. With every heartbeat, every breath, every step, every time you gaze at anything, everything you listen to, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you. That's heaven. There's no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity. This temple of ours, of God's, occupies its royal place. Its volition is complete, and she is the soul is our glory. The soul is our triumph. Do you see what I said about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is to live in the divine will? We become in God's image and likeness. This is what God wants. This is what the Blessed Mother wants. We become like her Son. This temple of ours occupies its royal place. Its will is complete. It's one with God. There's not two separate wills. The soul prays. The soul is our glory. The soul is our triumph. And what does this little host do? You see, we're going to become a living host. What does this little host do in this temple of God's? The soul prays. The soul loves. The soul lives of divine will. The soul substitutes for Jesus' holy humanity on earth. The soul takes place, the place of Jesus, of his sufferings. The soul calls the whole army of God's works to make a cortege for God. Do you see what's happening? It's a new beginning for mankind. Oh, how beautiful, how holy we have called heaven to earth. Okay, when heaven comes to earth, the devil can't be here. The devil has been kicked out of heaven. He will be kicked out of earth. He first is kicked out of our lives. You have to understand this. Why? You're in continuous adoration, continuous praise. You're in continuous divine love. Like we have divine mercy, yes, but God wants more than that for us. He really does. He wants us to enter into this new beginning. He really does. He loves us so much. So he says this. Okay, what does the soul do? The soul prays, the soul loves, the soul lives of divine will. She substitutes for Jesus' humanity on earth. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, listen in my listening. Jesus, walk in my walking. We're substituting for Christ's holy humanity on earth. You can't be sad. You can't be lonely anymore. Jesus is with you. He says to Louisa, I want you to become my skin. I want to be on earth again. In you. I want to share with you my divinity. That's what the priest says every day, Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. It's begun with Louisa. And little by little, it's beginning in us. He says, the soul holds creation and redemption as her own. It belongs to us. Every leaf on a tree belongs to us. Every grain of sand belongs to us. Why? We're participating in God. In God's I love you. Every tear of Jesus and Mary, every sorrow and sadness of Jesus and Mary, creation and redemption belongs to us. And acts as commander over them. And now she places them as an army around us, triune God. And in the act of prayer and of adoration, now as an army in the act of loving us, triune God, and glorifying us, triune God. That's heaven. How can you not be happy? It's to begin to live in the love of God. To begin to live in the I love you of God. Do you see why Jesus says he goes into ecstasy when he sees someone living in the divine will? Why? They're participating in God's image and likeness. Little by little. Nobody's there fully. Nobody's there continuously at this point. Why? As soon as you're worried, as soon as you're fearful, as soon as you're anxious, as soon as you're complaining, as soon as you're negative, as soon as you're sinning, you're not in the divine will anymore. And you're filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And Jesus says, I don't want that for you anymore. That's why we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want that life any longer. I don't want to live like that any longer. And Jesus says, good. I want you to live in my divine will, filled with peace, joy, and happiness. I want to give you my joy, Jesus says, so that your joy may be complete. You see what God's doing? It's a whole new beginning. That's why Our Lady said 72 years ago to Bruno, time has now come to an end. The new era has begun. 40 days after Louisa died. Now what happened? When Jesus rose from the dead, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. When Louisa died, 40 days after she died, Our Lady descended to earth. An approved apparition in Rome. I think about that. That makes the connection between Jerusalem and Rome and Corrado in Rome. It's God's got everything planned. You know, read the last chapter of I Am 24. You'll see exactly what I'm saying. Everything's ready for the kingdom of God to be established on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus has said, I want you and I, to be alive at this time. I predestine you and I, Jesus says, to reign at this time, to live at this time, so God can have his way. This is glorious. If you're not focused on the things of heaven, you're missing out. You really are missing out. And to focus on the things of heaven is to read, to study, and to put these truths that Jesus gave to Louisa into practice. He says, I want you to be my army around the triune God, in the act of prayer, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. I want you the army of loving us, triune God, glorifying us, triune God. That's where our happiness is. If you are miserable, if you are sad, if you're lonely, it's because you're not praising God. You're not glorifying God. You're not really worshiping God. And again, true worship, you need a priest and you need a sacrifice. That's true worship. You need a priest and you need a sacrifice. Without a priest, without a sacrifice, there is not true worship. You find this in the Catholic Church. The priesthood and the sacrifice, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But the soul is always at the head to make our divine works do what the soul wants. Do you see what's happening? When you're in the divine will with Louisa, Louisa is always at the head. Why? To make God's works do what Louisa wants. To make God's will do what we want. What do you want? What do you really want? It's for the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. Once that happens, everything is perfected. What do we really want? If we want things, they're all going to rust and disappear. If we want what God wants, what he taught us to pray, may your kingdom, Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Everything is perfect. It's what God has planned. What do we want? If we're with Louisa, and Louisa's always at the head to make God's works do what Louisa wants, what does Louisa want? Remember Jesus would say that to Louisa all throughout the writings. Louisa, what do you want? She goes, I only want what you want. And he goes, yeah, but what do you want? I only want what you want. Yes, Louisa, but what do you want? And that's what he says to us often. And then we go, well, I think I really want this. And God goes, fine, I'll give that to you. But when we say, Lord, I only want what you want, that your kingdom come on earth, this dust in me, as the saints live in heaven. I want, as you breathe into the dust, your image and likeness into, and Adam came out. I want you to breathe into me, this dust, this earth. I want to be in your image and likeness. I want your kingdom to be established. God goes, good. He says to Louisa, brava. Brava, my daughter. You want what I want. And she always ends, listen to this, she always ends with her little refrain, so pleasing to us, triune God. Your will be known, your will be loved, your will reign and dominate in the whole world. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. See, the Lord has chosen us to live at this time. To be linked to Louisa. Why? Louisa possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. That's why we want to be with Louisa. She's the one that possesses this true life. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. When we're linked to Louisa, what happens at this point is we pray the prayer that Jesus taught the apostles. We pray the prayer that is now God is demanding that we begin to live this. He's demanding it because his kingdom is coming and we are either with him or we're not. You know, he has to give everybody what they want. If you want the things of the world, the flesh and the devil, then you can't have the kingdom. If you want the kingdom on earth in us as it is in heaven, as the saints possess it in heaven, he will give that to us. As much as we want or as little as we want. 30, 60, or 100 fold. God has to give you what you want. That's the terrifying thing. If it's of the earth, God help you. Jesus says it will go the way of the world. It will go that way. But if you want the things of heaven, if you want the things that are eternal, God bless you. You're going to be filled beyond measure. Our God loves us so much. So her little refrain, Louisa's little refrain, so pleasing to God, is ours as well. Your will be known. Your will be loved. Your will reign and dominate in the whole world. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God's waiting for. How much he loves us that he would allow us to be alive at this time. How much he loves us that he would allow us to be alive today. He predestined us to live at this time. Don't let God down. Don't let him down. Adam, let him down. Link yourself with Louisa. Fall more in love with Jesus and Mary. Begin to learn the book of heaven. Study it. Read it. One of the best ways to do it, like I said, is the calendar. And by the end of the year, you've read volume 20 through volume 36. Like tomorrow, there'll be either one or a few paragraphs. So read volume 1, because volume 1 has no dates. And when you read volume 1, then you fill in for all 36 volumes. Again, remember, volume 1 is really volume 2. Volume 2, when it was written, the priest said, Louisa, how did you get to this point? Tell me how this happened. And that's why she wrote volume 1, saying, this is how I got there. This is how I got to volume 2. And then from after volume 1, 2, and then 3 goes right after that. And it's magnificent. And then the way and the how to live in the divine will is shown. In fact, all the anxieties, all the sighs, all the interest, all the solicitudes, all the prayers of this little host, Louisa Picaretta, who lives in our divine temple, are that our fiat embrace everyone, sets aside all the evils of the creatures, and with its omnipotent breath makes itself a place in the hearts of every soul, past, present, and future, in order to make itself the life of every creature. Louisa did this. That's why we link ourselves to her. She is the one who has accomplished this. All the anxieties, sighs, interests, the solicitude, the prayers of Louisa, this little host who lives in our divine temple, that our fiat may now embrace everything. Our fiat set aside all the evils of all the creatures, and with its omnipotent breath make itself a place in the hearts of every soul, past, present, and future, in order to make itself the life of every human being, past, present, and future. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus says this? He never said this about the saints. But he really shows us who Louisa is. Can one ever give an office more beautiful, an office more holy, an office more important, an office more useful to heaven and to earth than to Louisa, this little host, Louisa, who lives in our temple? And what God is asking, he's asking us to participate with Louisa. She is the one who possesses it. She's the first human born of original sin to possess what Adam lost. And that is the image and likeness of God. Who possesses the image and likeness of God? Jesus, the Son of God. Mary, the Mother of God. And now little Louisa, the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. And all the souls who are striving for that, little by little, God is going to give that to us. That's our hope. Our hope is little by little, God is going to do this. What a glorious time to be alive. What a glorious time to be alive. That our God has given us this opportunity to read and study and put into practice the truths given to Louisa Picaretta. The truths of this newborn who, I mean, look what God says about her. She is magnificent. Oh, she is the little newborn. Look at the titles that Jesus gave her. Jesus gave her 2,200 titles. Check the titles on the internet. Oh, my goodness, Louisa. Thank you, Jesus, for Louisa. Thank you, Jesus and Mary, for Louisa. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Louisa. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for Louisa. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.